Good morning, gentlemen. Good to see you. I got a little confused. I forgot what time I was supposed to be here, and so the pedal was to the metal a little bit, and I was like, oh no. So kind of reminded me of time when I got I heard about a guy who got pulled over, and he had the pedal to the metal during his time as well, and the cop looks at him and he said, boy, I have been waiting all day for you. And the guy looked back at the cop and said, well, I got here as fast as I could. Wah, 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 right? So, hey, if you have your Bibles with you, I hope you do, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to take a look at the question I want to ask us this morning. You know, it's what are you building on and what are you building with? And let's pray as we get into what the Lord has for us this morning. Lord, thank you so much for who you are. Not only do you give us eternal life, not only have you sent your son for us to die for us in Jesus, we thank you for paying the price on the cross that we could never pay. But Lord, you also give us your Holy Spirit. You fill us, Lord. You empower us. You not only tell us the direction, but you give us the strength and you give us the tools. And so this morning, Lord, we want to have lives that mean something. We want to have lives that leave an impression for you. And Lord, as we talk about what we're building on and what we're building with, I pray, Lord, that this would just continue to sink in and bear fruit in our lives. And so we give you this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I have a I have a conviction that when we walk with the Lord, to know the Lord is to serve the Lord. And I believe that the Bible backs that up as well. Revelation 4:11 says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Another translation says, they were created for your good pleasure. That's one of the reasons why we were created, to bring God pleasure. Now that's a mind-blowing thought in and of itself, isn't it? How can we bring God pleasure? Put a smile on God's face, you know? Sometimes you think, oh my goodness, well, it's almost like maybe sometimes the way our families feel about us when it comes to Christmas. How do we get Dad or Grandpa something? He has everything he needs, right? God wants us, though. He just wants a heart that loves him and puts him above everything else. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship. The Greek word for that is poema, from which we get the word poem. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I find from verses 10 through 17 that Paul is talking about the foundation of the church of Corinth. And what's good for a church is good for us as believers as well. I'm going to actually start in verse, let's start in verse 10 and we'll read through and then we'll jump into the text a little more. Paul said in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed, how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. There's a sobering thought, isn't there? And if anyone's work which he's built on it endures, he'll receive a reward. And here's the contrast. But if anyone's work is burned, he'll suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so is through fire. And then here's one of Paul's famous phrases. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Wow. There's some sobering thoughts to consider this morning. And I'm not trying to, this is not a text or a message of judgment for any of us. It's really an introspective kind of message this morning for us to kind of, to take to heart. Because I want to look at three phrases that describe the church, that describe us, and what we're called to do. It reminds me of a story in October 2018. I heard about Hurricane Michael. We're hearing about hurricanes a lot right now, right? Helene, and then Leslie, and what was the other one that's supposed to be coming? I forget the name, but there's two more that are coming along the East Coast following right after Helene. And so this guy, you know, being in Mexico Beach, Florida, heard that a Category 4 hurricane was coming. It came and leveled neighborhoods. Every single house on the block, except for one house that was completely intact. That house quickly, you know, garnered national attention from all the media outlets. And he was interviewed, the owner of the house, by one of the local news stations. And Russell King and his nephew, Dr. LeBron Lackey, were asked how their house was able to withstand the impact of the hurricane while every other house crumbled. Imagine that. They said, "We wanted to build it for the big one. And we just never knew we'd find the big one so fast." You know, can you imagine that? So this morning, I want to ask three questions as we jump into the text. The first is, what's your foundation this morning? The second one is, what does the fire reveal? We're going to talk about the fire in verses 12 through 15. And then lastly, what does the Father reprove? And so as we look at the text in 1 Corinthians, we kind of need to get a little bit of our bearings, where Paul's coming from. And first and foremost, Paul was using agricultural analogies. Christian leaders, he was talking about, don't deserve the attention or the allegiance, the celebrity status that is reserved for Jesus alone. Because, I mean, face it, there's a lot of church celebrity that goes on in our culture today, don't you think? You've seen this guy is like, this is my worldwide ministry, and it's all about this person. But no, it's all about Jesus. And Paul and Apollos were just instruments. In the church in Corinth, there was a lot of that mindset, but Paul's trying to bring them back to Jesus. And they were getting too much attention compared to the attention and honor that should be given to the Lord. And so Paul said in verse 5 of chapter 3, he says, "Who's Paul and who's Apollos? We're just ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. And if somebody should be honored, it should be the person, not the instrument." I heard it said this way, that if a person were to receive an operation and then come out of the operation and look at the doctor and say, "Wow, scalpel, you're just amazing," you know, instead of the doctor, that would kind of be bizarre, wouldn't it? And so we don't want to fall into that trap. Then Paul goes on to say in verse 6, "Hey, I just planted, Apollos watered, but God's the one that causes things to grow." And so there's differences in ministries, but the same God who's working everything. That's why it's so great when we're able to get together. I mean, we all come from different churches. You know, we all come together in the name of this church. No, we don't come together in the name of that church. You know, the first church on a hill. No, we come together in the name of Jesus Christ. Who can hold a candle to what the Lord has done? Man, God's not going to honor those who honor others instead of Jesus in his body. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "How can you receive who are looking to receive honor from one another and not the only honor that comes from God?" In other words, all the praise that we give to one another is great and fine, but it's nothing compared to God honoring us. I mean, think about this for just one second. Remember when Jesus was being baptized by John the Baptist? The Bible says that a voice came from above, and God said, "This is my son," what? "In whom I am well pleased." Imagine that just for a second from the perspective of a father. He was so blessed by what his son was doing in obeying him and going through the motions of fulfilling righteousness, as Jesus said, that the father couldn't contain it anymore. Not like he lacked self-control or anything like that, but he was just like, I want everybody to know I am blessed by what Jesus is doing. And that's the honor that comes from God. And so there's different ministries, and Paul says, we honor Jesus. And in verse 9, he says, we're God's fellow workers, and you're God's field. So that's the agricultural metaphor that he's using. We're united with each other as we serve, and the Lord blesses us for the labor that he empowers us to do, which is an amazing thing. Listen, anytime you're out in the community, and you're telling somebody, hey, you know what? Jesus loves you. Anytime, you know, you ask the waiter or the waitress, you know, hey, can we pray for you? We are Christians. We're about to pray for our food. Is there anything we could pray for you? The Lord says that there's a reward, a blessing that comes along with that. That blows me away because it's such a simple thing. And so we get blessed according to that. God blesses the work according to a different economy. And if we serve a God who says that those who want to be great in his kingdom must humble themselves and be servant of all, then it stands to reason that God works on a different scale that we have than what we have. He's the rewarder. And so Paul said, I plant, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. So verse 10 now, Paul says, according to the grace which was given to me as a master, wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds. So now he's taking the analogy from agriculture to architecture. And God offers conditions and cautions on not only how the church is built, but on how our very lives are built. Do you ever look back? I mean, this is a dumb question. I think we all know the answer to it, but we look back on our lives and we think, man, I wish I had done that differently. Boy, I wish I had treated that relationship a little better, or I had given more time and investment in it, or I wish that I had inserted Jesus into that relationship a little more. And maybe I'm just being a little reflective, because I had a friend recently who was the first person I met when I started going to the church that I got saved at. He was the young adults pastor, and just a great man. I'm going to talk about him a little more, but he made such a big impact. But just a few months ago, he went to be with the Lord, and we had a memorial for him. But I never knew anybody who was so genuinely surrendered to Jesus. Not just, I want to appear holy so everybody thinks I'm great, but his thoughts, his life, his relationships were about building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And you know, the amazing thing was, we'd have these conversations because he lives in California. We talk, and we were disconnected for a few decades, and then we recently reconnected the last year and a half. And we'd spend time just talking about the Lord. And at his memorial last weekend, I would hear other people. There were 11 people that came up to talk about him at his memorial. And every time they would say, and he would always talk to me about Jesus. And I thought I was the only one, you know? But it was amazing how he built on that. And that's what Paul said. I was a wise master builder, and I laid the foundation. The Greek word for that phrase master builder is the word architekton. And Paul's not saying that he's the architect of the church. It means something differently. Paul is more like the contractor that God gave grace to build a foundation. So think about that for a second. God wants to give you and I the grace to build that foundation of Jesus Christ in our lives. There are times where we're saying, man, this is kind of a tall order, God. I don't know if I can accomplish what you want me to do in this life in building it for you. But listen, do you remember when Jesus saw the man who was lame by the pool of Bethesda, and he comes along, and he'd been lame all his life, the Bible says. He asked the man one question, do you want to be made well? You know what the guy did? He didn't say, you better believe I do. He started giving excuses. Well, you don't understand my situation, because when I try to get down there, somebody else gets in front of me. He just should have said yes. And then Jesus says, rise, take up your bed, and walk. The point of this is, when we look at building our lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and we say, that's a tall order, I don't know if I can do it, or I don't know if I can go back because there's so many mistakes, the Bible is saying, God will give you and I the grace to be able to do so. His command is His enabling. That's the point. Because I got to tell you, there are times where I look and I say, Lord, there's so much that you've given me to do. How can that be done? Just yesterday, you can take a look at it on your own, but in Isaiah chapter 60, I was reading where he says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. He's talking to Israel. He's talking in the future, and he's saying, arise and shine. Just my command is for you to be a light. And you say, I don't know if I can do that. The command is infused with the power to do it. And so, think about that. So Paul goes on in verse 11, he says, no other foundation can anyone lay which than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And I was talking, as I was mentioning my friend, I thought about his life. Think about your life. Imagine this morning, and I'm not trying to be morbid, but imagine this morning, we're all gathered to remember your life. What would everybody here say about you? I know, I looked yesterday, I was trying to remember the address for the church here, and I was like, oh my gosh, what? Where is it? So I look up, and I see the page, and I see that there was a memorial for Gene. What was Gene's last name?
Brown.
Okay. I couldn't help, I clicked, and I looked, and I saw the pictures. And I saw all the words, and I saw the things that were mentioned about Gene, and he was loved. And Gene looked like he made an impact on your lives. Here's my point. God has given each and every one of us that same love for him and for one another to have as great an impact as Gene had in this group. And I think, man, I'm a type A personality. You can ask Ed. Poor Ed. Pray for Ed. He goes to our church. And so there I am. On a Sunday morning, you'll see me, you know, caffeinated with at least 2 shots of espresso ready to go for the morning message, you know. And so there's a lot of things that get done and all this and that. But my point is, you know, sometimes we can be busy about so many things, but what things are going to last? What's that saying? It's just one life and soon it will be past. It's only what's done for Christ that will last. What things right now in your life are things that you can let go that don't have any eternal value or meaning? Oh, I'm not talking about I got to take care of bills and mow the lawn or anything. Not like that. But what things are you spending time in, spinning your wheels on, that are not laying the foundation of Jesus Christ? Something that has an eternal perspective. Something where the seed is planted in a person's life or in this relationship or that relationship, and it will grow later on. What foundation do you build your relationships? In other words, do you talk about what it means to live the life of being filled with the Spirit? Is that part of a conversation? It's not bad to have hobbies or things in common with one another, but those spiritual things. And I got to tell you, sometimes when we talk with one another, I love talking, you know, like last night with our men's study, it was a great time. And afterwards, we were talking about like, you know, firearms and shooting ranges and all that stuff. That's not bad. But if that's all or most of the things that we talk about, something's lacking in the substance of that relationship. And I got to tell you, I have a hard time having relationships like that. Because what I'll do is I'll go up to somebody and I'm like, what is the Lord showing you? That's what I want to know. Because that's what I'm going to be able to be encouraged by or be able to invest in that relationship as we go on. So, continuing to go on, Paul said, No other foundation can anyone lay. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, they said, Peter said, nor is there salvation in any, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, sometimes we think about that as, boy, that's such a narrow thing. But I think that's an amazing thing that we have a name that's given by which we can be saved. You know what I mean? We think, oh boy, so many people say, well, this is the way. Or I think, I'm not very religious, but I'm very spiritual. Yeah, that's not always a good thing. Because there's only two kinds of spirit, a good spirit and a bad spirit. Which one are you talking about? And they really don't know. That's the problem. You know, there's one way to heaven. Jesus said to Peter, I say to you that you are Peter, small rock, but and on this rock, Petros, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. What's the point with that? Whenever we build on the foundation of Jesus, Jesus is right there with us, building on that foundation. You don't have to build alone. Years ago, when I was part of the young adults ministry in California, we'd go to the orphanage in Mexico, Rosarito, and there was all sorts of construction work that was being done, and we'd go out there and we'd, you know, do roofing or we'd do drywalling or whatever the case was, but never did you see somebody say, well, I need you to go over there and build that house and lay the framing all by yourself. Okay, and you've only got a weekend to do it, so you need to get busy, you know. We never build alone. There was always a group that was coming out. And so I think that's great. Paul, when he came to Corinth, he determined, he said, not to know anything among them except the foundation of Jesus Christ and him crucified. He presented the only way for salvation. And this is one of the ways we prevent from being disillusioned. One of the reasons a church split or divisions happen is because one or both parties weren't building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. So what's your foundation this morning? Look at verses 12 through 15 as we talk about what does the fire reveal. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Now stop for 1 second. Think about that. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, Paul wants us to focus on the materials that we're building with. Paul's comparing the superiority of these durable materials of gold, silver, precious stones in contrast with the inferiority of perishable materials of wood, hay, and straw. Here's an interesting thing. In Daniel chapter 2, we learned last night in our men's study that Nebuchadnezzar, remember, he was freaking out because he had the dream, and he wanted to understand what the interpretation was. So he had this really difficult test for his wise men and astrologers. He said, the only way I'm going to know that you're going to tell me the truth as to what the interpretation is if you tell me what the dream is first. There's a tall order, right? Hey, Ed, tell me what I dreamed last night, and then tell me what the interpretation was. You know, I'd be like, call Daniel, you know. But that was how he knew. So he had this dream of gold, and then there was the head of gold, and then there was arms and chest of silver, and then it continued to go on worse, you know, more and more till there was just iron and clay. But then there was a rock, a stone, and we noticed last night how the stone was the least of all the precious materials, and yet that stone demolished all the others. In other words, all those kingdoms that had all these great materials were submitted to Jesus Christ. Jesus was that rock. And when we build, and yet at the same time, the irony is, whatever our motives were with what we built this life on, there's coming a day that will reveal the motives with which we built those things. The question is, are we living for our own glory as we build? The question is, am I up here talking and sharing so that I can get a bunch of attention on myself or a pat on the back? Or is it a genuine desire because I love the Lord and I love His Word and I want to see you guys be encouraged by God's Word and what He has to tell us? Your motive is what's going to determine that quality of materials that is going to be revealed. Did you notice in verse 13, each one's work will become clear? Did you ever have a time where you woke up and you're like, oh my goodness, now I understand what that conversation was about the other day? Or, oh, now I understand a little more clearly how that relationship was about. That's what's going to happen that day. We're all going to appear, and we're going to see Jesus on the bema seat, the judgment seat, the seat of evaluating the quality of the lives that we led, the things that we did, the motives we did them with, the sacrifices we were willing to make that came from the right motives. And he's going to say, here's the fire. Let's see how that stood the test of time. That's going to be the eternal reality check. Does it cost you something as you serve the Lord? One pastor said, ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. This morning, what's before you? Is there something, is there a decision, is there a relationship, is there something that God is calling you to do, to invest in, where it's going to cost you something? Remember what David said in 2 Samuel 24:24, I'm not going to offer to the Lord my God that which costs me nothing. And sometimes the older we get, the more we want a little more comfort, a little more ease. But look at Abraham at the end of his life. Look at Moses at the end of his life and what God called him to do. Does it cost you something? And if God has called you to serve him and you have a hard time with that, remember, he's given you the strength to be able to do so. Think about this for a minute. Paul's saying it's possible that we can live our entire life with the wrong motive and then only discover after our lives are over that we built it with the wrong motives. You can't go back after that. And Paul later on went to say in 2 Corinthians, I consider that the present sufferings are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. We say, man, you know, this is a tall order, God, to invest in this person, this relationship. But God tells you and I that it will be worth it. Nothing that you and I sacrifice or will go through will even be able to hold a candle compared to the glory in eternity, guys. There is a great one coming. There is a story of a pastor who loved potlucks at his fellowship. And what good pastor doesn't? Amen? So he would always come, and whenever they would eat the potlucks, he would always say, hey, hang on to your forks because dessert's coming and the best is yet to come. And so at his memorial, they saw that he was buried with a fork and a knife in his hands. And it was a reminder to everybody that heaven was coming for him and the best was yet to come. See, that's the message for us this morning. Hang on to your forks, gentlemen, because the best is yet to come. God has so much that he wants to bless us with in heaven, and I'm looking forward to it. How many years has it been since the Marshall Fire? Two? 3 years. Wow. My neighborhood was hit. We lost about half of the homes on my block. We got out in about 20 minutes. And we're looking back. I live in Superior, and it was like a parking lot when people were trying to get out. It was deadlock, gridlock. And I'm sure you've heard of friends and neighbors talk about what they lost in the fire. We thought our house was gone. We saw the news reporter on the cross streets of our neighborhood, and behind her, our whole neighborhood was up in flames. I was recording it, and you could hear my wife, when she saw the image, just gasp and crying. Every time I watch that video, I get choked up. But then we found out that our home was lasting. And here's the point. There's so many people that lost things in that fire, and their lives were devastated. But it's nothing compared to what a person can lose after realizing that I didn't build on the right foundation. The day is going to reveal it. Last thought here. Not only what foundation are you building, but not only what is the fire going to reveal, but also at the very end, he says, what does the Father reprove? And this is kind of a quizzical statement. He says, don't you know that you're the temple of God in verse 16 and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So now Paul is saying, hey, build on the right foundation and keep in mind that there's going to be scrutiny by Jesus at the very end. So, you know, let this be a good checkup, a reality check. But then he also gives a warning at the very end saying, you individually are the temple of God. Now we see that Paul says this more later on in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe, where he talks about your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But here in the very end, here's the caution. The importance of making sure that we keep in mind the Father takes seriously the who, the what, and the why that we build with. And as we live for the Lord, as we serve Him and invest and build on the right foundation, don't just look right in front of you. In other words, don't be short-sighted. I was telling you this past weekend we had that memorial for a friend of mine, and I don't know who it was, but I was talking with somebody, and I was reading my notes. They were asking, because I taught at another church, and they were asking, so what's the title for the message? And I remember looking, and she goes, oh, you're extending the arm. And I said, what's that all about? You know what I'm talking about? She says, yep, you're getting older. The eyes, they're getting weaker, huh? And I'm like, yeah. Sometimes that's what happens with us, you know, spiritually speaking. We just see what's right in front of us. We have to extend it a little bit, but we don't look further down. The direction that you're going right now, where is that going to lead in the foundation that you're building on? What's the motive that you're building those things with? Because one day, the Father is saying, hey, God is very serious about what we do with the life that we're building, but also the lives that we're impacting as well. Last thought here. In Acts chapter 9, Jesus said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The first time Saul met Jesus, Jesus was concerned about what he was doing to his people and took it personal. If Jesus takes that personal, we should take it personal as well. So how can you build the foundation of Jesus? Are you part of building up, or have you been part of maybe tearing things down? Let the Lord speak to you on that point. And then, how's your vision? Do you know that the Father wants to bless you, but also the Father will correct you as well? Hey, if we consider these things and put them into practice and ask the Lord, what am I doing for you that will last? I guarantee you, you will hear one day, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. I thank you for these men. Lord, it does my heart good to be among them, to see them, and to know, Lord, it's not just getting here and this is not just a club. Lord, this is about seriously wanting to hear what you have to say. As Samuel said to Saul, stand here so that I can reveal God's word to you. Lord, we want to hear your word, and we ask that you would change us and help us to, as you say, draw near to you, because you'll draw near to us. So help us to build on the right foundation, Lord. And we thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thanks.